Well, good morning. You know, it's really exciting to follow an economist. So an engineer is the cool guy here in the crowd, right? I've never been called cool. So I've got a 30-minute presentation that I'm going to try to boil down into less than 15 minutes. We live in a pretty great place, and you've heard a lot of the speakers, our governor, our leaders in the legislature talk about what an amazing place we live in. And it's not by accident that these things happen. We live in the best place, the best state in the country, for a very good reason, because leaders have made hard choices and have helped set a path for the future. You know, some of the fundamentals that I think are important that we look for in the way we do transportation is we look for making sure that we're preparing for future generations. And Utahns are planners. We've always been planners. And one of the things we're very proud of is we work in a collaborative fashion with all of our partners around the state to develop a strategic long-range plan for Utah's future. So we look at that population growth, we look at where the employment centers are going to be, and we think about where we need to have the facilities that we're going to need to be successful in the future. Because fundamentally, you know, when you think about what are the things that we need to do in government to make sure that we provide an economy for the future success of our citizens and the type of quality of life that everyone's looking for, transportation is one of those things. It sits down there as a foundational element, and when it works, nobody notices it, right? When you get home in time for dinner with the family, you don't think about, boy, that traffic signal was timed really well or anything like that. It's when it doesn't work that we notice it. And so transportation serves this fundamental role here to help support our state, both our economy and the quality of life. In fact, if you think back to one of the relationships that has stood the test of time is the relationship between our gross domestic product, and you can go back 75 years and look at this relationship, and I'll say this is a surrogate measure for mobility, but the measure that has been used is what's called VMT, vehicle miles traveled. And so that mobility measure and the relationship to our gross domestic product is just mirror each other. So as our economy goes, our mobility goes. If we have good mobility, our economy hums away. So that's a really important piece to remember that. And of course, a transportation guy would tell you that transportation is really important. You know, you've heard a lot of numbers here today about, you know, where Utah ranks. One number that you did not hear is that U.S. News World Report has put Utah's infrastructure as number 3 in the nation. And I think that's pretty good where we are. Now, we have a little bit of an unfair advantage. We have a relatively new transportation system compared to some of the older transportation systems in some of the older urban areas. But we've been doing a really good job. In fact, this article here I thought was pretty interesting. You very rarely hear that you're doing a good job on congestion, but you've heard over and over again, we're growing fast as a state. Utah is a fast-growing state. And in fact, if you think about this, we are the 8th most urbanized state in the country. So that means that based on the U.S. Census, from what defines an urbanized area, we are one of the higher percentage states where our people live in an urban setting. And I think most of us probably think of ourselves, we live in the West, we're rural people, but most of our people are in urban areas, and so we have urban challenges. Now we have a very rural area as well, because, you know, 65% of our land is owned by the federal government. So we tend to be concentrated really along the Wasatch Front, 100 miles long, about 35 miles wide geographic area. And if you think that you've heard that we're going to just about double our population in the next 35 to 40 years, most of that population is going to reside within this Wasatch Front area. And what I like to remind people of is, you know, Rusty mentioned the amount of centerline miles that we have in the state. We talk about lane miles usually. We're not going to be able to double the amount of lane miles that we have in this urbanized area. Just think about it. Where would we fit it if we're going to double the population? So we have to start thinking strategically about how we're going to change our approach to be successful to provide that mobility that's critical for Utah's future. So we've done well. We need to continue thinking about the new challenges in front of us. Now, I like to show this slide because this is a book that our leadership read last year. And the message here is, you know, I think you've all heard the Bob Dylan saying, these times are changing. Well, things are always changing, right? Change happens. The assertion that Thomas Friedman made in this book, Thank You for Being Late, is that the rate of change is happening now at a much faster pace than ever before, and that rate of change is going to continue to happen. And you know how change works, right? A lot of times, if you're in the middle of it, change is good for you, it's not so good for me. But when you're in the middle of change, you're always thinking about, well, let's get through this, and let's get back to normal. And the message we wanted our leadership team to understand is we're not getting back to a normal state. The future is going to be one in which we need to be ready and prepared to adapt to a rate of change that we've never seen before. And really, there's three things that have been, you know, in Thomas Friedman's book, he identified three general areas that are driving this rate of change. And I think one we can all quickly say is technology. And in the transportation world, we go to look at autonomous vehicles. You look at electrification of our vehicle fleet, and I'll talk about that a little later. But that whole technology area is driving a lot of change. Globalization and the fact that everything is connected anymore. You know, if you push on the balloon in Utah, there's going to be impact around this country, and there's going to be an impact around the world. And the fact that we are all needing to adapt to a changing environment, a changing climate. And we're having to change the way we think and plan about our transportation infrastructure to be prepared for the future. And those three things are driving this change, this acceleration of change. And so we all need to be thinking about how we're going to do it quickly. So in Utah, we think we've done a pretty good job of adapting over the last 25 to 30 years. We have a very efficient operation, and so we're focusing hard. Governor Herbert has focused all state government on, one, being more efficient than we've ever been before, and the Department of Transportation, we've worked hard to follow the governor's leadership on this, and so we're working hard on operating the system more efficiently than we've ever done before. We're working hard to build it. Okay, so this is just operations. So we measure, we have real-time measures on every road, every state road in the state, in real time, so we know exactly how fast every vehicle is moving on every state road in real time. And so we're using this information to try to be better able to react and adapt to be able to provide for the mobility of the future. It's an incredible amount of information. To think that a person, we have a traffic operations center with, you know, a bunch of operators there, individuals cannot assimilate this amount of information and make the decisions at the pace we need to. So we're working to try to develop artificial intelligence and machine learning to try to be able to better anticipate changes based on certain relationships happening and to be able to provide for that mobility. The way we build things has obviously changed. I think you guys have seen us do this before. The left, I wonder if it comes in. There it goes. The left side that's the 45th South on 215. That was the first bridge in the country that was built off to the side of the highway and moved into place overnight. So the way we build things has changed. That's the technology corridor. I know people have had some interesting relationships with that project that's under construction, but the whole idea is we were going to build that with the same amount of lanes as we had before we started construction. So to be able to go into construction and spend a 3-year construction period and never lose an operational lane, that has taken quite a bit of challenge to do that, but that's just the way we need to do things anymore. We can no longer shut down lanes the way we... Remember when we reconstructed I-15 here in Salt Lake County in 1997 through 2001? We shut it, remember, what did we call it? The luge, right? We shut down every other interchange for 6 months, and we turned the highway into 2 lanes in each direction, I-15 and Salt Lake County. Could you imagine if we did that today? I mean, it would be totally unacceptable. So I want to do a little bit of history here, and you've heard a little bit of references about transportation funding. So I really go back to 2003, 2004, the Legislative Planning Task Force. We had just come out of we had the recession that Representative Spendlove mentioned. We had just finished reconstruction of I-15. We were in the middle of what was called, the legislature had funded the Centennial Highway Program. It was the first time sales tax had been used to go towards transportation. But we were looking towards how are we going to fund those projects in the future. And there were several key outcomes that came out of this task force. The chairs of that task force, for those of you that remember, former Speaker Lockhart was one of the chairs, and former Senator Carlene Walker were the chairs on that task force. But one of the things that came out of there was a statement that All citizens benefit from having a viable transportation system, and an over-reliance on a few traditional funding sources will not produce the revenue needed, nor spread the tax burden fairly. The state must broaden the base for which transportation systems are funded. We've heard that today, broaden the base. Reliance on fuel tax alone will not be adequate for all highway needs. And so really, this was the first recognition that another source of funding would need to be provided for transportation. And then in 2005, the co-chairs of that committee created the Transportation Investment Fund. And so they created basically a placeholder, a catcher's mitt for money. No money was identified at that time. But in the 2006 session, that was when our economy had rebounded. There was a surplus. There was a tax cut that was provided at that time. And a certain amount of money that was left over in the general fund actually made up what was called 8.6% of the sales tax. That was put into statute, and that became the first foundation of sales tax going into transportation. In 2011, Senate Bill 229 captured 30% of any growth in sales tax that would go into this transportation investment fund until it reached 17%. And to fast forward just to 2015, that's when the gas tax was last increased. That gas tax was raised by 5 cents, and it also provided an indexing method. There was a recognition that we weren't able to keep up with inflation, and it provided an indexing method at that point. And so it was tied to CPI. It just went up here in January based on the tax commission determines that. Now, this next slide has a lot of information. I want to it's not formatted great. So the stuff on the right that says legislative countermeasures, don't try to relate that to what's on the left so much. But really, the bottom line is here, over the last 15 years, the purchasing power of the gas tax has gone down 70% in this nation. And so if you think about it, we have about 200 less employees working at UDOT than we had in the late 90s. And we have lost about 70% of the purchasing power of the gas tax. And so this was one of the issues that was recognized. And also, we're starting to see an erosion of the gas tax from more efficient vehicles. And I think we all agree that we want to see cleaner burning vehicles on our highways so that we have less contribution to the air quality problems that we all experience. And so between the fuel efficiency of vehicles and the loss of purchasing power due to inflation, we're seeing construction inflation is about 7% a year. That's our construction costs are increasing about 7% a year. And what we're seeing is this type of result over time. So these were the reasons why the legislature provided the indexing method on the gas tax. So maybe I should step back just a second. So the sales tax money, that transportation investment money I mentioned, that is used by our Transportation Commission to fund capacity projects. Those are the projects most people notice. The day-to-day operation, maintenance, all the pavements, the bridge work, all that stuff we do just to keep the system working, that's funded through the gas taxes, both the federal gas tax and the state gas tax. And so that might help kind of separate these two here a little bit. So they've implemented the indexing provision, but they also they also directed the department to implement a road usage charge program. And that's what I wanted to talk a little bit about, this road usage charge program, here in a few slides. So our VMT nationwide, our vehicle miles traveled, again, I look at this as a surrogate for mobility, is increasing dramatically. And obviously our economy is strong, but our growth in travel is increasing. So this is tied to two things. Obviously our population is increasing, but we're also seeing people making more trips, making longer trips. And so your mobility is giving you the ability to do things, whether it be discretionary activities or required activities, that are driving the amount of travel that we are doing as Utahns, and we're seeing this around the country. And so we expect to see the amount of travel continue to increase. And one of the things that this has led to our, we think is critical for us is we are not going to be able to meet the future mobility needs of our state and continue to provide the quality of life that's important to everybody with just roads. Transit's going to play an ever-increasingly important role in meeting our mobility needs, as well as walking, biking, and those activities as well. We call it active transportation. So I think our future has to be this better strategic integration between our transit assets, our roadway assets, and our active transportation systems. And so if you think about it, it's really about the journey. It's not so much about, you know, how you're making that journey. If people have the choice to, you know, to travel where, when, and how they want to, I think that provides a successful success for the state. Okay, so road usage charge program. This kind of came at us faster than we expected. But again, I think that's one of the things that Utah's known for. Utah's known for actually seeing the direction we should go in and boldly stepping forward. And we are now implementing this this vision. So these are some of the things. If you look at the different fees, so registration fee, that's the fee you would pay on a vehicle. The fuel tax or the road usage charge. And we just tried to look at this and say, well, the road usage charge, and I'll explain it in a few minutes here in a little more detail, it will scale with inflation. It's really very much tied to that user pay idea. The idea that you pay for what you use is a really important principle, because the response, you use things in a more responsible way. It's almost like supply and demand, but if you use things in a more responsible way, if you actually see that relationship between what you use and what you pay, and it has some long-term sustainability. So these were the fundamental reasons behind this. This is an interesting graph, and it's a lot on here, but I wanted to just say, so right now, this is what different vehicles pay. And there's a little bit of an apples and oranges here. So if you look at, let's look at the second from the left graph. And you see the bottom, the dark blue there and the light blue. So those are the fuels, the fuel tax and the registration for a vehicle that goes 20 miles per gallon. And so basically a vehicle that goes 20 miles per gallon is paying $376 per year in fuels tax and registration. An electric vehicle right now with the fully implemented fees is paying $120 per year. And so this was that fairness idea, is should everyone use the same, pay the same amount if they're going to use the same amount of lanes for the same amount of time. And so this is a what it costs for users right now. How many electric vehicles are out there? About 2% of our Utah fleet is electric vehicles. It's changing fast. The rate of growth in the electric vehicle purchases is increasing. And you can get the idea what's happening when you look at General Motors will have 23 electric vehicles, models for sale by 2025. Volkswagen figures about 50%, they're the largest vehicle manufacturer in the world. They will have 50% of their models will be electric by 2025. This change is happening very, very quickly right now. And so this is us getting ready with this road usage charge program idea. So we were told to implement a program by January 1 of 2020. We turned it on January 1. We had one person sign up on January 1. It's a voluntary program. You can choose to pay if you're driving a hybrid EV or an electric vehicle, you can choose to sign up and pay 1.5 cents per mile, or you could pay the flat fee. Now, the way we set this up is we want people to get into the program because we have a lot to learn about this. So we hired a third-party vendor so that we're not going to have access to people's information in terms of where you traveled and when you traveled. And you will never pay more than you would have paid if you paid the flat fee. So the advantage of signing up for the program is you pay as you go, so you keep more of your money in your pocket throughout the year, and you pay as you go, and you'll never pay more than you do now. You might pay less if you drive fewer miles. And so if you have one of these vehicles, consider signing up. I've got a picture of the website here in a few minutes. But one of the things that I know members of the legislature are very interested in pushing this program forward. We've been directed that by October 1 of this year, we have to submit a plan on how we would get all vehicles enrolled in this program. We've kind of pushed back a little bit with how aggressive some folks have asked us to go. This is not being done, really. Oregon has a voluntary program. They're the first ones to have done it. It's not as aggressive as ours is today, and we're really out in front right now on this. But I personally feel that this is the future way we're going to fund transportation, is we're going to fund it based on how much of the services you use. And it will be based on those actual miles. So this is our website. So roadusagecharged.utah.gov, if you want to sign up. There's a link off the UDOT homepage as well. And there's some services that if you choose, you know, you can have access to your data. I did a test last fall. It was kind of interesting. So you just plug this little modular in, you know, so there's a port right underneath your steering wheel. You plug it in and you can see on the app on your phone, you can see how well you accelerated, how well you cornered, whether you're stopping too fast. And so it's the same type of information your insurance companies will offer to you. If you wanted to get a deal for safe driving, it's the same type of information. So it's DriveSync is the name of the company that does that. And so, but we don't get access to that information. So I think this will be important. This is some of the issues, we call them focus areas, that we're trying to focus on. We have a lot of education to do. The technology is still evolving. We are currently will charge you for driving out of state. The technology will allow us to segregate that out. We're still working on that. We also picture us not being able, you know, not charging people if you're driving on a private road. So if you're one of the folks that have a large driveway, or if you have a ranch or a farm and you do a lot of driving on the off a public road, is not getting charged for use on that. There is some administrative cost to this. So the more people we get signed up, the lower our costs will go down. We anticipate breaking even by about 2023 on this. We call this privacy perceptions a little bit, because we don't have access to this data. We get aggregated in total data. So we know how many miles you drove, but you're reporting that information anyhow in your registration. So we're not getting any of that. I think privacy issues are being addressed. So this is some of the areas we're focusing on. I just wanted to finish with also in the tax reform bill, there was a clear message sent to us that the legislature wants us to consider tolling in the future more so than we have in the past. As you know, we have an 80-mile continuous high occupancy toll lane right now. It's variable priced, and it's been managed purely for throughput. We've been given the direction to also generate toll revenue through the management of the toll of those hot lanes. And so we'll have to kind of figure out what that exactly means. The bill also mentions something that's already in federal law, but it's the January 1 of 2025. Increases the minimum occupancy of the high occupancy toll lane from two people to three people. So right now you ride for free in those toll lanes if you're two. The bill directs us to increase that to three by 2025. And it provided a little bit of flexibility in terms of how toll revenues can be used. Prior to the bill, there was we had a tollway restricted account. So any revenues generated in a tollway, so right now the only toll lane that we're operating is the I-15, that money had to stay within that I-15 project. Now it has greater flexibility into how the Transportation Commission can allocate that money. And really, in conclusion, transportation is in a really good spot in Utah. We feel that we've been more aggressive in providing for capacity expansion and in very strategic operational improvements. And I feel very proud also about the condition of our assets. If you look at the condition of our pavements and our bridges, we are clearly at the top of the country. And that's, to me, is the fiscally responsible thing to do. When you think about the cost of ownership, if we did not maintain roads in a good and bridges in a good condition, we would be pushing liabilities to future generations. We are providing a lower cost of ownership for the transportation infrastructure for future generations in Utah, and that is what I am most proud of. So I want to thank the Taxpayers Association of Utah for their leadership and their principles in helping the legislature and the department over the last several years, and I look forward to working with you all in the future. Thank you.